From Boss Meadery in Madison, Wisconsin. It's a podcast that will rock you like a toilet drain. Guys, games, and beer.
Yeah!
You mean you rock the toilet drain?
I do.
He does rock the toilet drain. Okay, so.
I also would have accepted the toilet wine of podcasts.
The toilet what?
Toilet wine?
Of pot.
Right, you know, the
prison wine. Prison wine, yes. So, yeah.
I just call it toilet wine. It's more direct.
No, I'm good with toilet wine. That's just fine, too. Okay, so we are at Boss Meadery in beautiful Madison, Wisconsin, Rob. So we've got a change for beer court tonight, I think.
Yes, today it is meat court.
Meat court.
Meat court.
Meat court?
Oh, meat court. Now we're going to review meat.
Ready?
Ba-da-bum. Ba-da-bum-bum. Meat court.
All right, so we have something special to tell us what we're drinking tonight. Andrea.
Hi.
Andrea is with Boss Meadery, and you're going to have to actually probably go to the end and talk by a microphone.
Squeeze in there.
There you go. Okay. So what are we drinking tonight, Andrea?
I just need to say I officially have the best seat in the house. It's so warm. So, tonight, and everybody in the room should have a little sample of this by now. We have got our brand new mead, Citrus and Destroy. If you know the metal reference, yes, you're right. So, this is one of our session meads. It's a little lighter on alcohol, 6.5% ABV. It is sparkling, and we've infused it with a Meyer's lemon zest and black tea. So kind of like an alcoholic-y Arnold Palmer-ish, but done with wildflower honey, and it's delicious.
All right. Well, that's good. Let's give this a try, gentlemen and ladies.
Hey, test the bouquet, will ya?
I'm going to let you go at it.
Aww. Okay, that cleared.
Ooh. That's nice.
You know, at first, it's got a lot of smell.
It's got an aroma.
Yeah, but once you get into it, it's really nice.
Yeah,
I would say it's a good starter mead.
What's that?
A good starter mead. Light little bubbles on your tongue.
That's
the lemon is very light.
That's an interesting way to describe it, as a starter mead instead of a just a mead. Because very often the problem with meats is they can be strong and heavy. And this is not heavy at all. This is really light.
And not really sweet like a lot of other meats.
My only concern about something like this is it's still 6.5. I can see this one sneaking up on you because it is so light.
But it's so delicious it can sneak up on me all night long.
Just the way he likes it.
This is a good wedding meat. Skip the champagne.
Are you proposing?
You know what? I actually think that would be a really good application. Yeah, the wedding meat.
Oh, that's what yours. Yeah. Yeah, actually, no, something like this. Yeah. I mean, anything where you're gonna have where you don't want people getting hammered drunk.
They're gonna get hammered drunk.
Oh, that's just it.
You're gonna get hammered.
Why would we want that?
Okay.
Anyone in the audience have an opinion on that?
We'll ask if anybody in the audience
They're gaming.
We'll ask if anybody in the audience has an opinion on it. Let's see a show of thumbs up or thumbs down on Citrus and Destroy.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm thinking this is going to be darn near unanimous.
Yeah, I'm thinking it thumbs up.
It looks like a lot of thumbs up. I think this is a unanimous. Not just that, but the entire audience. And there's got to be like 30, 40 people out there who had a chance to try it. And it looks like it's thumbs up on all of them as well.
Yeah, yep. Single
definitely
down.
Looks like a good one for this panel is a pretty good day.
Damn right.
You don't get a lot of unanimous decisions. Not when the audience agrees with you as well.
It's true. There's usually at least one dissenter. Often it's me.
Yes, yeah. It often is you.
Because we hate you, Matt.
All right, so, Judge Rob, pass your judgment on Citizen Destroyed by Boss Meadery.
On count one of drunk and disorderly, I find you guilty.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't have my gavel.
That actually works pretty well. Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's better than the gavel.
Honestly.
On count two of sparkly tastiness, I also find you guilty. I sentence you to drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. Woo!
Mm-hmm. God, that's good.
That is really good.
Okay. So I finished mine. I'm gonna start on some of the staffs.
Holy crap! Oh yeah, he did. He literally finished his already.
Over my dead body.
That's all you got. That may. If there is a drawback, that may be the drawback. That it may be too smooth and a little dangerous.
I got a feeling that's gonna do it.
I've never had a mead-related incident.
That doesn't
hard and
like
fast.
A
Rob Short.
No, that's just a lot. And we have the photos to prove.
I don't see any photographic evidence of the incident. So
I'm thinking there's photos to that effect. Okay, so Rob, what is our real topic this evening?
You know what the great part is? It wasn't a Boss Meadery event, but I know the mead you were on was Boss Meadery.
Yes, that's where I discovered it. I just thought, oh, it tastes a little bit like wine. I'll keep drinking it, no problem.
All right, so Rob, what is the real topic this evening?
All right, so it's been 5 years since the first episode of Guys, Games, and Beer, and
people actually listened to it all.
We've been talking
totally
nonsense for 5 years.
Yeah, we've been talking nonsense for five years.
Yeah,
I don't remember a lot of it.
We haven't really learned a lot. I can't say.
You learned a lot. Be dumber.
We might actually have lost a few brain cells during the course of this.
What do you mean, might?
You know what, though?
We all look more grizzled. We all looked really young during the first couple episodes. I look back at it, I'm like, oh my God, it's only been 5 years. We really have
so
run each other in the drought.
So podcasting ages one?
I age very quickly.
No, you look so young. Jonah looked really young.
Now I just look like a fucking mess.
Jonah was just a kid. Now he's like taller than me. You know.
You had to clean yourself up.
I know.
Okay, you know what though?
What is the topic?
A ton of adventures in that amount of time.
There has been a ton of adventures.
All
right. So today's topic is in 5 years of gaming, what has changed? And you know what? I was looking up. I did actually for once research before the episode. And what? I usually don't research live episodes. I just like to talk a bunch of crap.
See,
but
pants.
A lot has changed in gaming, and I think I'm gonna start with a top 10 list, a double top 10 list, and I've got it right here on my phone.
Would that make it
20?
Hey,
so it's really a top 20. But here is the top 10 video games of 2012.
The year we started the podcast.
Right. I love this list, by the way.
Right,
it's messed up.
Let me hear what they were.
All right, number 10 is FIFA Soccer 2013. Yeah, 2013.
Okay.
I'm not kidding.
All right, sports game 5. All right.
Sports game.
Yeah, like this one, too. Lego Batman 2.
Oh, yeah.
Hell
DC
yeah.
DC Super Heroes in at number 9.
To me, that came out last week.
Yeah. Yeah, Larry should be
so
just about ready to play these
years
at this point. Number 8. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3.
Shut the fuck up.
Kid you not. Borderlands 2, which I played with Matt once and decided that he is way, way too fast for me.
I mean, I was
You guys
already,
are tearing through it. I'm like looking in corners.
I was like, to be fair, I was already like 60 hours into that game. So I was just like, hey, Rob, let's go do stuff. And you're like, yeah, but there's a thing. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm just going to blow everyone up.
I was probably 60 hours in it too, but I was still looking at flowers.
Well, I mean, they were really fucking great flowers.
They were.
So,
wow, there's some nice rocks there. Number six, I like the way you're cheating. You're cheating. Number six is NBA 2K13.
Pass.
Not a surprise.
No.
Sports games are boring.
Number five, you're gonna love.
The NBA experience, you know that's gonna be a hit.
Oh,
Hookers and blow, man. Hookers and blow.
Next week, we're gonna be talking about the NBA experience.
Yes, we will.
Number five, Just Dance 4.
What? Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
Number four, Assassin's Creed. Wait. Assassin's Creed 3.
That's
wow. Creed 3.
That goes back away.
That was a totally different thing. My bad. That was disappointing. I get what I was popular, though.
Yeah.
Again, it was a franchise, and they were still feeding off the other ones.
Really more of a Black Flag fan.
Oh, yeah.
I still need to play that. I gave up after 3 because I was like, that's it.
I played 15 minutes of the first Assassin's Creed and said, there's way too much self-control in this game for me.
I really need some rails.
Right? Yeah, and some shooting. More shooting.
More shooting, more rails.
It was just jumping off the same thing, like, over and over, like...
Which is basically what the new reboot on Doom is, why I love it.
Right, and that's perfect.
Hell yeah. Number three, Halo 4. Where's Brian when you need him?
Guys, this should have been number one on the list, first of all. Why wasn't it? I'm very surprised, honestly.
That was a very accurate
that
Brian.
That was a very accurate Brian, actually.
I've been curating that one.
For years. Storing up the Brian.
Hatred.
Number two, Madden NFL 13.
Let's see. So we've had soccer, basketball, and now football.
All EA
and dancing.
Yeah.
And dancing.
I feel like the fact that Madden is dead, there's not going to be a lot of change as far as the idea of sports game being.
In
the
Larry, do you actually think that John Madden's dead?
No. That's a genre.
He's been dead for years. He's on the same roof. They just like have him.
It's
they have John Madden.
It's Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how would you know if he was dead?
Madden has not actually commented about football in I don't know how long.
Seriously,
definitely not in a game.
He repeated the same five statements over and over again, so they just have a tape player on the plate on the tape to his neck.
Well, and that's a first down, and boy, the toilets are dirty in this stadium.
Well, really heard that football is a sport that people play. Look at them go, with the ball, and the running. I took too many hits to the head.
I wonder why they don't call it handball. All right. Number one is Call of Duty Black Ops 2. That is the number one game of 2012, according to the NPD Marketing Group.
Two Call of Duty games in the same year?
Well, yeah, they kind of
overlap, right?
Yeah.
So you guys want to see how much has changed in 5 years? So let me tell you.
No, there's still Call of Duty.
There's Call of Duty on the list, yeah.
Well, that's true.
Number 10 is Overwatch. By the way, they don't count BattleNet sales on that.
Oh, wow. Okay, then
MPD does not count them, so it got ripped off.
That number is really low then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So really, they're probably number one. By a long shot. Yeah.
Number nine, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege. By the way, this is the first quarter of 2017, obviously. It's not the whole year.
So Overwatch is still on this list in the first quarter of 2017 when it came out fucking last year.
Yeah, and it's almost really being ripped off.
That's insane.
Yeah. All right, what's next, Blizzard?
Number eight, Kingdom Hearts HD 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue. What the hell kind of name is that?
I mean, it's a name that Squeenix and Disney came up with together, which is why it sounds like it was a name made by a committee.
Call of Duty should be doing that. Call of Duty 4.
Call of Duty
left-handed,
4.
Left-handed combat specialist of the Black Ops and the South Dakota.
To be fair, they're going with Call of Duty World War II this year.
Again.
So
they started with, right?
All right.
And then Battlefield did
next one, Rob.
Number seven, what a big old surprise. Madden NFL 17. More mundane commentary.
OMG.
I just let it roll. Number six, Battlefield 1.
Woo!
I mean,
It's pretty damn good. Any game I'm actually halfway competent at, I'm pretty impressed as a first-person shooter.
I freaking suck at it, but it's beautiful, so it's fine.
I sucked forever. I mean, it took a long time to even get to
competent. It's one of those games where
it has a good balance between like the people that are really good at it and the people that aren't good at it, where you can still have fun.
They got good matchmaking, I think, makes that game.
The maps are very well done.
Yeah, there's very few super shoutouts in that game. I mean, they happen, but it doesn't happen like three times in a row like it does in Call of Duty. Yeah.
All right, next.
Number five, NBA 2K17.
Okay, well, that's we know where this is going.
Yep.
You know, the only thing that's probably dropped off this list is
NBA soccer. Experience.
Number four, Call of Duty. What a surprise. Infinite Warfare. Actually, not
Jet
a bad packs, entry.
Motherfuckers.
Actually, not a bad entry. It gets a bad rap for its futuristic setting. But what the hell? You know what? It's everything that Halo wasn't.
We've done the past with guns. We've done more past with guns. We've done the present with guns. We've done the near future with guns. Why not the future with guns?
I think it sounds like a great idea.
Honestly, where else do they have to go? World War II a fucking den? Oh, wait.
Oops.
Oh.
Ooh. All right, next round.
At least they didn't go with World War I. Number three, Grand Theft Auto V. Not a surprise there.
Yeah.
Who doesn't play it except for me?
Also me.
Oh, okay.
It's not a bad game.
Most everyone else.
But that does say something. It is not a bad game. They have a lot of different game modes and things on it. It's not bad.
My kid was playing it the other day, and they were driving cars up hills, jumping over them and trying to hit them with rocket launchers.
Yep.
Why, of course.
It is an awesome game mode. It is so much fun.
All right, next round. Get this. You are gonna crap your pants at number two. Resident Evil 7, Biohazard.
Holy shit.
I know.
Oh, still selling, huh?
That's impressive, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's a popular franchise. As long as the game isn't accidentally racist again, people are probably going to enjoy it.
This is one of those things where a lot of this is affected by the fact that some of this came out in 2016 and their heavy sales are in 2016. So now what we're looking at is a 2017 release, which is For Honor. Which I haven't played.
I've heard very, very, very good things about it. But I just bought a house, so like, you know, games are expensive now. It, again,
does have a...
yeah.
I wouldn't even say it's a learning curve. It's more so just like getting used to the controls curve. But it is a really good game. I do like that one.
I've seen Travis do some sick-ass shit in that game. And I keep going like, I want to throw someone off a cliff. Holy shit!
Like, that's epic. Double back and kick the guy off the edge.
But he had like this much health. And the guy's like whoop. He's like, I gave him literally 5 minutes to stop chasing me and he wouldn't fucking do it.
Welcome to the Travis Review Game Podcast.
To be fair,
where we
Travis
talk about
really
everything
good at video
that
games.
Travis has played.
Alright, Rob, what's next on the list?
So, that's it. No, that was number one. For Honor was number one of this quarter, first quarter 2017. So, I think what we've really learned here is not a lot has changed.
For video games, I think that is maybe true. You know, they just sort of moved on. The genres came out with their next 1, 7, 8, whatever. But I think in the board gaming world, it's been a lot of change.
Oh, yeah. Sea change.
Well, along that line, then let's go ahead and let's see what we all think has changed in the market. And Larry Singh, as you seem to have an opinion on this. Let's start with you. Well, probably the biggest thing that I think that it's been exciting and changed in the last 5 years, not that there hasn't been attempts at this before, is mainstreaming the not mainstream games. Okay, so your Settlers of Catan, your Cards Against Humanity, you know, your Magic, those stuff weren't in big box stores. They weren't in, you know, and now maybe Magic got in there maybe 5 years ago, but Cards Against Humanity is sold at Target now. Settlers of Catan is sold at Target. This is not something that would have even happened 5 years ago.
Okay, no.
Have a night like this, where people are playing series, they're playing Splendor.
That is true. So, all right.
So that's his thing from the last time. What do you think has changed a lot in the last 5 years of gaming?
People are still doing the whole pay-to-play gaming, pay a dollar to get to the next level. People are still playing Candy Crush, which came out about 5 years ago. So I think that the whole but I think the whole idea of people paying to play is here and it's going to stay.
I think it's normalized. I think it's I think that it's I think people are just putting up with it now.
Well, I mean, yeah, and now it comes on every copy of Windows 10.
Yeah, but I don't think it was around too much 5 years ago.
I want to jump in.
Well, we were bitching about it.
You were bitching.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to jump in with mine. The thing that I've noticed changing, actually something that's recently changing, is the exact opposite. We're seeing more pushback and it being received by, like, AAA developers. Titanfall had free DLC. Overwatch. All the DLC, the new things they do, are free. You still have the option where you can buy things like cosmetics and things like that, but we're seeing it be more accepted where that's what you pay for, not so much the DLC and things like that.
That's
and
a good
I
want to
see more of that. I want that so bad.
Except for Call of Duty, which is micro DLC all the way.
Because they're a bunch of assholes.
Right.
Call of Duty,
I still play
the
game. Yeah.
$120 a year to play if you want everything, right? And then every
that's
year you
insane.
Gotta start over and buy the new game and the $80 of DLC.
No, but I agree with Tyler. I think there's been a lot of pushback on DLC that way. And because not when we first started, but it ramped up very quickly after this show started. We saw this increase in DLC content that you had to pay for, basically pay to play, where you could get the better weapons, you could get the better armor, you could do all sorts of upping on your character. That really started a little before we started the show.
But took off really then. I remember bitching about that so many times.
We did episodes about this. That yeah, and the problem was, I'm sorry, I'm a cheap-ass bastard. I am not going to spend money. You know, I'll grind if I have to avoid buying stuff online.
I can wait.
I mean,
I can wait, exactly.
So about how many of your characters...
If it's the right price.
Your character only comes in underwear.
Yeah. I'm good with that. I am perfectly with my character only coming in underwear.
That's more of a feature.
Yeah,
that's
that a
last
feature.
Weekend, Tom. All
right, so... No, I think Todd is good. You're right. I like the fact they're pushing back against it.
And we're seeing it with the AAA. There were a lot of like smaller indie titles and things like that were released and things for free. But the fact that like Titanfall, which is a AAA title, released DLC for free, like that's awesome. I want to see more of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'd buy the game even if I hate it just because of that.
Wait, is that why Zelda finally
can't
caught
hate
up
it.
For Nintendo to decide
to
do $20 for their DLC?
Yeah.
I don't think Nintendo really ever had DLC, did they?
Nintendo is going to be doing DLC that costs money long after everyone has quit because they're about 8 years behind everyone else.
So they're just
starting. The internet.
Their DLC's just starting.
Whoever has it, our house is going to connect to the internet.
Super Mario Crush is months away from release.
I mean, they already
right
have
now.
The Mario Runner.
Yeah.
All right, so
Dr. Mario Switch.
So, Larry kind of brought up something in the beginning, and he talked about board games, but it's more than just board games. And so, Cards Against Humanity came out in 2011, 1 year before we started this show, and I'm actually not even a full year before we started this show. And we saw that game explode. Now, when that game first came out, it really was a Kickstarter project, and you were backing it, and you got a copy of it early, and they had all sorts of incentives. They were not in any stores when we started this show.
But I always screwed up the bigger
blacker box.
Blacker box is sold in Target.
Okay, so but
if
that
you can go to Target right now and go get that.
I see Cards Against Humanity as a sea change in gaming. Really, that was the start of indie gaming making it big. Pre 2011, you didn't have a lot of that, but when that game hit. And just
it
the wild popularity of that. And again, it built up over that first year. When it first came out, there was a lot of backers and a lot of people really liked it. But it was not like, oh my God, this thing's amazing. All of a sudden, though, by word of mouth, you know, you'd take this to a party, you'd play with your friends, and the next thing they do is go home and order a copy for themselves. This game was the game that kind of laid the groundwork for what we've seen in the last 5 years.
Plus
an explosion in indie gaming and Kickstarter gaming.
Cheap and simple.
So... we go to a lot of game fairs. We've been to BFIG, Boston Festival of Independent Gaming. We go to Game Hole here in Madison, Midwinter, lots of places.
By the way, it is already like half the hotels in the area are sold out for.
Yeah, that does not
like
That does not surprise me at all. But the whole thing about it is that game kicked it off. So what we've really seen over the last 5 years, and we've really seen it because we get a lot of the people who write these kind of games on our show, we've seen the way that this gaming has developed. And not just the way that people now are writing and publishing their own games, but all the new publishing tools they have to use to do their
games. I think that's one of the big things, is that there's a lot of widespread publishing tools that the indie developer can use, and a lot of promotional materials that they can use now that were there 5 years ago, but they were not codified into a real system yet. Like, even Kickstarter was just kind of a boutique thing.
Right.
And now Kickstarter is like, another Kickstarter. You know?
Yeah. Well, and Kickstarter's got, they've got things set up specifically for indie gaming. They've got different types of Kickstarter now. Like you said, they've really broken up into different ways of getting things started. So they have ways for gamers. They've got a gamer track. You have to have, so when it comes to kickstarting a product, if you're developing a technical product, they have a certain requirement on how much of the product has to be done. You have to have a working prototype, blah, blah, blah. Gaming is not the same on Kickstarter. And that's part of this whole thing that Kickstarter's developed to allow game players to get the bugs out of their games and get it going.
Well, plus you're more likely to see the Kickstarter actually come to term now. Now, that there are exceptions to that. Some big ones. But as a general rule, Kickstarter's now come to term. Where before, man, it was, well, it's still crapshoot, but it was a higher percentage crapshoot. Yeah. You were more likely to get crapped on back then. In fact, I got a Kickstarter from 3 years ago that just posted an update like 2 days ago about their product. They're still working on it.
Yeah, and there's another thing that came from
gratuitous wings to our friends in the audience.
I may be wrong about this, because I have had a decent amount of mead. Send any corrections to Matt has never and will never check his email at guysgamesandbeer.net. But I'm pretty sure that Cards Against Humanity now runs a card printing company.
Oh, wow.
So all of these new card games that are coming out, including, I believe, Exploding Kittens,
which I just
contracted through Cards Against Humanity, because they have a card manufacturing facility that they sell to third parties to create new fun games.
Which I would like to point out, because I did just say I bought Exploding Kittens. The print jobs is great. The actual quality of the actual card stock is really good, too.
Yep.
That's one thing I always hate, is the cheap, crappy things that are just going to bend and indent and be awful.
So, I mean, and that's because Cards Against Humanity got so huge and they got more money than they knew what to do with, they were like, hey, let's just manufacture our own shit and then sell those services to other people
literally
who want to
sell
make cool
shit
games.
To people.
They bought it! Woohoo! Somebody likes me.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah, physical shit. Yes.
In case you're unaware, everyone. Kickstarter and that sort of phenomena that sort of took off as more recently has sort of pushed the big box to go, oh, we gotta pay attention to this.
Why you see some big vendors now that do come out with Kickstarters, which, I mean, look, they have the right to do it, fine. It wasn't really the spirit of Kickstarter. It was for people who didn't have a known audience to become known. But that said, I mean, I'm pretty sure Squeenix has done one.
But once it's known, sell it, baby. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell, right? I mean, you know that the big vendor is going to come through, but it kind of bothers me because it's not really... Development becomes a popularity contest. And with the idea of Kickstarter really was to take that small venue that maybe didn't have enough to ramp up to a full-size, huge release and give it enough to just come up with a limited release.
And
so many great
care
Kickstarters.
Really show how much they
right.
care.
So I think it defeats the purpose, but I mean, you know, hell, Kickstarter's got to make money too. And if that helps fund these smaller companies, I guess fine. You know, I kind of begrudge them it, you know, but I'm not gonna hate on them too much.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you. It's just like Kickstarter, at least my perception of Kickstarter and other crowdfunding sites like this were created to help people that don't have the venture capital or the straight up fucking capital to be able to fund projects like this. And then, like, fucking, like, HP swoops into Kickstarter and is like, why don't you fund this wonderful tablet we have an idea? And it's like, fuck you.
This guy, no,
he's got
I
a
know.
Mustache.
$50 million he's your disposal.
But Kickstarter is still providing that service to the small developer.
It is.
Yeah, you gotta jump
through
a few more hoops.
I just think it's dumb when people who have the capital to be able to do it on their own
do whatever they want.
But no, you know something, that goes back to the Kickstarter people, users, if you will, who support it. Look, if you see a big company come on Kickstarter and you don't think their product should be out there, don't support it. Don't give them capital.
Right. The only way I see that working is if it's like a pet project, something that may not actually take off.
And that's fine, too, and I can see them doing that as well.
But that's totally different than them just using it. It's like, hey, just give us money.
But again, they can do that. That's up to people whether they want to back those companies.
It's a free focus group at that point.
You're using someone else's service to do something that you...
All right, yeah, that's true. All right, you're right. That is true.
It's not a free. They're getting paid to do this group.
That's true.
My bad.
Kickstarter's still going to get their cash out of it. Okay, so that's really some. Let me bring this all back around now that we've veered off into all sorts of territory on this. That's really the big change I think you see over the last 5 years.
It's been the pattern for 5 years.
Yeah, that's nothing new in this show, guys. Sorry about that. For 5 years, we have veered off. And into a lot worse topics than this.
Everything's always the same.
Yeah. But that's, I think, the big change you've seen in the 5 years. I mean, think about Troy and his development. Using GameForge. Think about Forrest and his development. Think of all the developers we've met and how now they can get their game to market. And not just, you know, 100 of, but they'll get 1,000 of their game out, a couple thousand of their game out. And again, sometimes, like with Cards Against Humanity, once you get that into people's hands and they get a chance to bring it to a party or to an event like Boss Meadery is having tonight, where they're having an open game night this Tuesday night, I'm going to sell this. People get a chance to play it. Splendor is a good classic example of that, and I saw that sitting out there. Small games that people will get out and get going. That's a big change I think I've seen over the last 5 years. All right, so Rob, how about you?
I think it's interesting over the last 5 years you saw, when we came out 5 years ago, like handheld and tablet gaming was like this new thing, and it was very crude.
And garbage.
Yeah, and mostly garbage. And over 5 years we've watched it mature, grow into this huge industry, and then flatten the hell out. I mean, it's actually kind of just a flat market now. I mean, they're still releasing huge stuff for it, but it's not the darling market that it was, say, like 2 years ago. And it's funny how fast that has happened. Now, it's not that, I mean, everybody owns a tablet. A lot of people own Android gaming devices, but they've just become passe. I mean, they've gone from being some unique device to just being something that everybody's got laying around the house.
Contrary.
And their sales have flattened accordingly, but they're not gone.
For the first time ever, mobile gaming will pass console gaming.
I think it killed
years ago. Dollar for dollar.
Yeah, there was a sexist thing going on, actually, where they were not counting, quote, casual gaming. And since, quote, casual gaming, I don't like the term casual gaming.
Yeah,
if you're a hardcore freaking Candy Crush player, you're a freaking hardcore gamer, okay? I don't care what game you're playing. To me, when you sit there and you take one section because you call them, quote, simple games, you've just taken the entire group of gaming that I grew up with, which is the Atari 2600, you know, the ColecoVision, and you said that is not worthwhile gaming. Well, kiss my ass. I fought, you know, we fought with those damn controllers, and we fought with those game systems, and I'm not having it taken away from some kid who's using a $2,000 gaming rig and thinks he's somehow special. No, bullshit. You're not hardcore because you spent a lot of money. You're hardcore because you enjoy games, and you're gaming. That's what makes you a hardcore gamer. And I do think that that's, like, huge. And what was happening, by the way, bringing it back to this, is that they threw out casual gaming for years. These games, Bejeweled, has been killing for years.
Absolutely.
Killed everybody, yet they didn't count it.
Because it's casual.
That's bullshit. A game is a game. Yes, Candy Crush has been crushing.
I would like to.
It annoys the crap out of me. Don't get me wrong.
G2B has
never
done. I'm
on other people's parades. You know,
an entire episode on puzzle games for that very reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, not to mention that we haven't.
Well, I mean, not for that reason. We just don't.
Well, that's because it's casual game. No, I'm just kidding. No,
we certainly mentioned them.
I play an awesome one, and I'll be bringing that one up next week. It's a puzzle game about mass murder.
That sounds fucking awesome.
Hell yes.
What is it
That's
called?
Metal as fuck.
Let me get the name for you. The developer sent me a key for it. And he said, hey, this game's retro. No, it's not, but you should try it. And I'm like,
awesome.
I said, oh, Jesus. I do get a lot of puzzle games because, I don't know, YouTube for some reason cracks those guys. But holy crap, I was blown away by this game. I was like, this game is original. It's got good acting values, a really good sense of humor about it, and it's actually fun. You want to see what's going on. So it's broken into chapters, and each chapter is like a sequel to the original murder, to the original mass murder. It's freaking hilarious.
That's
awesome.
I'll be
mass
flashing on the
hilarious.
Screen. The edited version of this, the name of it will be flashing on the screen. I drank a little too much and I can't remember the name, but I've been playing the hell out of it. It's good.
Where's this one?
But anyway, yeah. Next on there, Tie Bomber.
I already said that.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he did.
Remember that long cash that we went on?
Sorry.
All right, how about
Damn
you, man?
Blind jumper.
So, in traditional Matt fashion, I'm going to talk about hardware.
Because Matt's hard.
Probably
all the time.
Always. Probably the biggest shift that comes to mind for me in gaming is kind of the convergence of manufacturing architecture in the last several years. 5 years ago, your main systems were the Xbox 360, PS3, whatever the hell Nintendo had at the time that I didn't care about.
Wait, you mean there's a console they already discontinued we forgot about?
Weird.
Whoops.
And, you know, your x86, Macs, PCs, whatever. The Xbox 360 was its own special flavor of power PC processor. Your PS3 was the cell processor, which was its own fucking special brand of power PC processor. And then you have mobile games, and you have, you know, all these other things. Now, what we moved into in the last few years with the advent of the latest generation of consoles, including the Switch here, and I'll talk about that in a moment, the Xbox One and the PS4 are using virtually identical processors. They're almost the same thing. And moving into that infrastructure, they're also now on x86, like PCs and Macs. It makes development on multiple platforms way easier. And the Nintendo Switch is running on an ARM architecture processor. That means that...
By NVIDIA, of all people.
Right. And which means that if game companies want to bring their games to multiple platforms, it's way easier. Because now instead of having to program for 5, 6, 7, 8 distinct different systems, they're programming for 2 to 3...
Well,
and then adjusting to the operating system code and the driver code.
Candy Crush Switch coming soon.
I mean, fucking probably. And if Nintendo ever figures out how to get on the fucking internet.
I know. And with things like Unity and stuff. With things like Unity, it makes it easy to do that. Because, like you said, at that point, the only thing is you're changing your control code, maybe a little driver code change, but overall your base code stays the same. That's the beauty of Unity anyways. It transports nicely from system to system, so it's not an issue anyway.
Yeah, and that's been a huge change over the last 3 years, and that's why we're seeing less and less exclusive titles, because now these companies aren't married to, you know, I'm not married to the cell processor.
Wait, yeah, you are.
I am. But that's another discussion for another time, and it's also a slippery slope discussion.
Oh, my.
Don't talk about Cilia.
Very slippery slope.
Instead of a certain developer, you know, like Naughty Dog, being married to the cell processor, now they're just, you know, kind of married to Sony, and if they fucking wanted to go over to Microsoft and the Xbox, they could, and it wouldn't be that hard. Like, and that's all over. That's why you're seeing, I think that's why you're seeing way less, like, console-specific games, and way more, like, Oh, so this is on Xbox One, and also PS4, and also on PC and Mac, because we actually finally have this convergence of architecture, which makes the coding way easier, and way easier on consumers.
So you're basically just choosing a network and choosing a controller, basically, what's the best deal? And, I mean, that's probably the reason for PS4's success. I mean,
yeah.
I'm using Xbox One because I was a fool who bought it for Halo.
I'm using Xbox One because I got it for free from work.
I switched it, but I switched teams for a bad reason. But, you know, the actual controller hardware, I don't want to get into too much. Again, I'm an Xbox player now, but as far as the network goes, I think Sony's network, they give better games with their network. Microsoft's gotten a lot better. They've greatly improved.
They had to learn a lot of hard lessons from E3 2014, I think it was.
Yeah, they got their butts kicked there.
They did.
And yeah, they did learn a lot of lessons from Sony, but you know, Sony, you know, everybody plays on the one console. You know, they get to play online with their own person free. Xbox does that now. We do that now, so yeah. That's good. But I think the final thing is the controllers. In the end, I think this generation, Microsoft shits on the controllers. They're trying to sell you a premium controller, which is essentially a pay-to-win controller, because I have the Elite now, and the difference in what you're capable of doing with that controller is night and day. It gives you a significant edge that other people don't have. And on the PS4, there's less of that crap going on. PS4 only markets one controller. It's a well-built controller.
Yeah,
really Microsoft's tough. Default controller is quite honestly a creaky piece of crap.
It is. I got angry and popped the battery cover off of it. I will say this. The controller that they started selling with the 1S. Hey, buddy. The controller they started selling with the 1S is pretty fantastic.
Oh, good.
Others. Honestly, I really like it. I almost like it as much as my PS4.
Do you have the panels, though?
Well, no, because my controller didn't cost $150 in addition to my console.
It does give an almost unfair advantage.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
I am Travisaurus.
Good to see you. Hey, Travisaurus!
Oh, in the house. Committed unspeakable atrocities against 6 million people.
Wait. That's what he was busy doing.
Are we not playing that drinking game where people like, no, we're not.
Okay. Calm down, Michael Scott.
Bye. All right. So anyway,
Michael Scott, I would just say
Hitler. I think we got our opinions pretty well down. It's just I'm used to Xbox now, and you know, unless you switch back.
Yeah, I mean, and my Xbox cost me $0 because I got it for Christmas from work.
I left a good PlayStation.
Tuck that in.
I don't blame you.
I mean,
I told you. I think.
And really, I only play Star Wars Battlefront on it. That's basically the only game I play on that.
Well, if you're gonna play a game, make it a fun one.
For real.
All right, how about it, Melvin?
So consoles in the last 5 years have just become Netflix.
Homogenous
blob. What? Streaming devices, right?
So essentially what consoles have become is, which Netflix streaming interface is best for you?
Do you want Sony's Netflix interface here, or do you want Microsoft's Netflix interface?
Exactly.
They're both, you know, equal quantities of kind of shitty.
Because you can
also say they'll get to what you need.
You can play all those same games on a PC except for one or two per console, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and again, more and more every day, you're getting more of them that are going to be PC. I mean, Destiny 2 is going to be on PC now, so...
Fuck yeah! About damn time.
One less reason.
About damn
time. I'll actually play Destiny 2! Hell yeah!
Alright, so circling it back in, Travis, PC change in the last 5 years of gaming.
Look at the biggest, like, trend?
Yeah, like the biggest sea change.
Okay. Well, Larry, you told me I would...
What is this?
I mean, obviously, the way games are released has got to be a big one in the books. I don't know if we've talked about it. Oh, man, I love you.
I think that's yours.
I love you.
Thanks.
Not anymore.
But just, again, going from these big releases or even indie games, like, it's all about the early access, the Kickstarter, the kind of getting in ahead of the curve. And it's like, it can be good and bad because... I've committed myself to some projects that I really liked ahead of time, like Elite Dangerous, which I'm back into playing a crap ton now. It's a game I got involved in early on, and it was great to support developers that are good developers. But on the other hand, you get a lot of crap out there, and it really feels like you're gambling with your money when it comes to video games now. And the trend of there's a lot of bad trends out there that I really hope get the kibosh. And microtransactions in a full paid $60 game for Honor. I like that game. The game is good. I like the game a lot. But it's like I shouldn't have. I bought a gold edition. I spent $90 on the game. I shouldn't
have to pay. Hold on, I forgot about that.
Cosmetics.
Editions mean not jack shit anymore. It doesn't matter what it is. I'll buy the top.
You can't get a game of the year edition anymore. You can't get.
I bought the season pass.
They cut it. They cut it up into little tiny chunks. And again, I bought it thinking, oh hey, I'm gonna get. I think the game's cool. It's got great aspects to it. The game's a lot of fun. I'm going to buy the gold edition, and I'll have everything. That's not the case.
Nope.
So
wait for the platinum gold plus edition.
Yeah,
maybe.
So you're saying in the last 5 years, there's a big old kick to the nuts.
Yeah.
Very important. Game has become a big kick to the nuts.
Or you wait till nobody's playing it, and then they come out with the release that has everything.
Right. Yeah, that's what I do now.
The $20 version?
He waits 5 years.
$20 version, right?
Yes. It's what I did.
Every piece of DLC.
That's how I got Battlefield. That's the way I went. All right, how about it, Mel?
All right, I'm going to wrap it up here with conferences, because I think that is the biggest change over the last 5 years, is the increase in small regional conferences we've seen, from Gamehole to MGC. I know MGC Midwinter has been around for a long time. There's Nexus. There's Gamehole. There are so many small conferences. What the attendance for Gen Con last year was over 60,000 people. I mean, think about its humble beginnings, Tom. 60,000 people.
It's a great day to be a nerd.
And I'm going to be there this year. It's going to be awesome. Gen Con 50, baby.
Trickling it down to small venues like this that just host game nights. That's, I think, a huge change. I don't remember that in the last, previous to the 5 years.
Yeah.
That we've been around, so.
Nice.
Segway into Boss Meadery. Here we are.
Okay, so.
You know what, Rob? You know what I
heard? Where we're at. Oh. Where are we at? What's going on tonight?
I think everyone here knows where we are. I could be wrong.
To the audience. Yeah, there are about 30 people sitting around.
Oh, no. 10, 20, 30, 40. There's
ignoring us completely.
Oh, we're at Boss Meadery in Madison, Wisconsin.
No, they are ignoring us.
The premier mead.
I can drink in public.
Brewery in Madison.
I can play games.
Like, that's pretty much all you need.
That's right.
I mean, there's something about drinking in public that you just don't get in your own private residence. And it feels a little more socially acceptable.
And it's definitely less sad.
Yeah, it's less sad. I drink and play games at home. I'm an alcoholic. I go out and drink and play games. I'm a social person.
You're social.
I don't understand quite how that works, but
it's important. You will prevent Alzheimer's at the end of the day. It's really important to stay social. So put that out there.
Wow, thank you for bringing us all down.
This just got really fucking heavy.
Holy shit. Let's segue to a raffle, shall we?
I drink to forget. Oh, that's kind of ruining that.
Yeah, there's some peace grenades.
Let's do a raffle.
Rob, I think I heard that this podcast has been the longest journey.
It is the longest journey. Okay, if you've got your names in the raffle bucket, that's a good thing. If you don't, you should probably get them in there now. It's raffle time. Guys, Games and Beer wants to thank you for putting up with 5 years of the worst podcast on the net. We love you, and if you want to hear more of this crap, go to www.guysgamesandbeer.net.
We don't.
If you want to be friends with us, and I don't know why you wouldn't, www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer, where there are free games every Friday given away on Steam. Also, I'm not stable either. Also on Twitter, @GuysGamesBeer. Note that there is no "and" in that because they're cheap with their letters.
If you are a big fan of YouTube, you can go to www.youtube.com/guysgamesandbeer. And finally, every podcast aggregator on Earth and some radio station in South America. Thanks for watching, Guys, Games, and Beer. We love you.